RadioInfluence.com.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, we recap VFW Fight Night 2 and speak with a great lineup of guests. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, 6 events in 7 months, and the MMA Road Warrior Tour is a wrap, but we still have more to go in 2017.
Yeah, just a little bit left, but now I'm kind of breathing a little easier. It's like, man, it's like this crazy, like, sigh of, woo, like, I can, like, release a little bit this week. It's been nice. But, you know, can't take the foot off the gas too much. You know, we've still got one more here in December, and then, you know, we're really planning to come out of the gates really strong in January, on January the 6th. It'll be Valor 47 at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. So, you know, we've had some great events there. It's an awesome venue, and, you know, I'm really excited to start off 2018 with a bang.
Yeah, so we are also joined by a great guest host this evening, current professional MMA prospect in divisions ranging from 185 pounds all the way up to heavyweight. This guy loves to talk, so we are very excited to have him as always. Chandler Cole is with us. How are you doing tonight?
The mouth of the South, you already know. I love this. I love getting on here and just running my mouth.
Very, very cool.
You got the questions, I got the answers.
All right, so it was a big weekend. Let's get on into the news. Big weekend, UFC Fight Night 120 went down in Norfolk, Virginia, and of course headlined by Dustin Poirier and Anthony Pettis. Dustin Poirier gets the TKO due to rib injury in round 3 of 5, and it was electrifying. Tim.
Yeah, that was a great win for Dustin. You know, he's kind of got. He's been in some big spots, but hasn't ever really knocked off just that top marquee guy. And so this was kind of a huge win, you know, the biggest win of his career. And he beat up Pettis, you know, he really beat the shit out of him.
Man, Chandler, what is your look at Dustin Poirier as of late?
I really liked it, man. You know, he came out with a different look. Usually he's bald headed. He, you know, just looks like that, you know, just, he's like that guy in the featherweight division. Well, this time he came out with the whole fade, and he looked really good. I think this is definitely, in my opinion, his biggest win. I mean, would y'all agree, or has to be up there somewhere?
I think it's undoubtedly his biggest win. You know, I met Dustin probably 7 years. I'll tell you, it was the same night that Michael Jackson passed away, because I remember we were down there, and Nate Jolly actually went down to Louisiana to fight him. And so the first time I encountered him was that night, and it was a brawl. It was a war. And, you know, you knew that that guy was going to move on to do big things. And I think that, you know, of course, along the way, he had his stumbles. Of course, the epic fight with Conor McGregor. But it looks like he's back on track a little bit here. And like you mentioned, Tim, that's a huge win. Now, moving on, some of the undercard bouts, of course, the co-main event, Matt Brown taking out Diego Sanchez, round 1, nasty TKO by elbow. Then Andre Arlovsky is back, and he takes out Junior Albini by decision. And then right on down, we had Cesar Ferreira and Nate Marker going at it. And, of course, Rafael Assuncal, a guy from, you know, right down the road down in Atlanta. And, of course, he takes out Matthew Lopez. Talk about some of these undercard matches. And, of course, Clay Guida with that big victory over Joe Lauzon, two legends there.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of the most shocking one. You know, Guida's not known as a big finisher. He's kind of a grinder, and I think people expected that to be a good fight, but I don't think anybody expected it to just be a starching like that from Clay. So, you know, great showing from him. You know, big win for Sun Sal. You know, I thought that, honestly, I thought that Lopez may could upset him with wrestling, but yeah, he starched his ass too. So, you know, pretty good undercard. There's a lot of decisions early, but there was that, you know, for the most part, it was pretty fun little show.
Yeah, and you mentioned the decision. Of course, Sage Northcutt getting the decision victory. And and we saw Angela Hill, who's somebody we're familiar with. She dropped the decision victory, but always exciting fighter to watch. Any parting comments, Chandler, from your part on this card?
You know, exactly what Tim said. This is a great card. I'm glad to see Clay win. And just the whole card all together, and Matt Brown's knockout was vicious. Probably one of the meanest. Oh my God.
It was like he's throwing a fastball at his head.
It was like he had his kick, he put his hand in his face, and he was like, okay, as soon as I get this set up, I'm killing him. And he killed him. I thought he was dead.
Nice. Well, of course, the UFC train keeps on rolling. Coming up next weekend, it is UFC Fight Night 121 live from Australia. And we're going to see Fabricio Werdum taking on Marcin Tybura in the main event. We're also going to see Jesse Rose Clark taking on Beck Rawlings. Jesse Rose Clark, someone I'm familiar with, also known as Jesse Jess back in the day. Jake Matthews and Daniel Kelly also going to be in action. Those are two stars of Australia. When I was down there with AFC, those were guys that were coming up in the ranks. And then looking in here, of course, former Bellator champion Will Brooks, lightweight champion, is also going to be in action. And the guy at the very bottom, I got to give a shout out to Taya Tuivasa. It's a guy that I watched way back in the day. I've not seen him on a UFC card, I don't think, yet. But that guy's a big, tough Polynesian. So he's a guy I'm going to have my eyes on as well. Tim, what stands out to you on this card?
I think this one, you know, these Australian cards can have a lot of action, because you'll have a lot of guys that are, you know, trying to make their way, you know, onto the bigger events, off the fight night events, and they're kind of coming up through the European scene and stuff like that. I think Werdum is a pretty solid favorite to win. Beyond that, I think that Tim Means and Bilal Muhammad is the fight to watch. That's going to be really good. Means has got a crazy good UFC record, and they kind of don't really promote him like they do others, and he kind of got vocal about that and called out a name guy. Now he takes this one just a few weeks after his last one, so this is going to be a real good test for him. And Bilal Muhammad, I think Daniel Kelly is, you know, he pulls off a lot of upsets, but this was a tough one against Elias Teodoro. That guy's going to be, it's a tough matchup for him. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, an uphill battle, I think. Beyond that, you know, Nick Lentz and Will Brooks, they were supposed to fight a few shows ago and something happened. Now they're going to fight. And, you know, the guys you were talking about earlier, the heavyweights, the Tuivasa and Coulter, man, that's going to be, I mean, a slugfest, because I picked Tuivasa to win, but Coulter fought Chase Sherman in just a complete train wreck of a slugfest. I mean, these guys got a great chin and throws heat, and I'm pretty sure that Tuivasa does too. So that's going to be one, you know, curtain jerker that'll probably be, you know, one of the best fights.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Can't wait for this big event. I might actually be chilling around the house so I can actually catch it this time. Normally, I'm at fights, as are you. So
yeah, we're gonna actually watch some fights. There's several this weekend.
A few notes, some news briefs here. Of course, I like to call them, you know, the locals doing it big time. OSP, that we're very familiar with here in this region, he actually got his wish, man. He's going to be taking on Lir Latifi. And, you know, he called him out last week after his win, and now he's getting what he wants. Tim, what do you think about that fight?
I think it's a good fight for Ovince. I think it's one that was calculated, and they made the play, and they got their wish, and so they're gonna get the fight close to home. You know, Charlotte's about as close as Nashville is, really, for us. So, you know, he's gonna have a pretty good contingency there supporting him, and you know, Latifi, he's still tough. You know, I mean, he's like a bowling ball, a really strong guy with power. You know, so it's still dangerous.
Yeah, Chandler, what do you think about it?
What was the question again about OSP?
Well, OSP and Lir Latifi, how do you think he matches up with Latifi in this matchup?
Oh, you know, I'm biased as it gets, so I think OSP will win, but I'm excited to see the fight. I think it's a great matchup, and I'm just, you know, repeating myself, I'm just excited to see the fight.
All right. In other news, of course, we ran across the train. Nate Landwehr back at Valor Fights 46 there in Nashville. I got in and got a little interview with him. But we knew he was on his way to a big fight in M1 Challenge. We had no idea it was going to turn out to be what it was. He gets the big win back November 10th last weekend, and it was an absolute war, Tim.
Yeah, man, it really was. You know, certainly the fight of the night there, and, you know, one that will be a lot of highlight reels there with a lot of great blows landed. Two really tough guys, and he gets a win there in Russia against one of their very highly touted prospects. I mean, that guy was really solid. So it's a big win for Nate, and hopefully it kind of angles him towards the title fight maybe now or maybe one more way. I mean, and then that could be a real big win for him. So, you know, proud of Nate. He's one of our favorites, man. He's always exciting to watch and such a character, and, you know, love seeing him, you know, get out there and shine and entertain.
You know, we haven't really spoken a whole lot about M1 and M1 Global and so forth. But, you know, they've been around for years. And, of course, you know, Fedor was a part of it. And, it really had a whole lot of steam, and it continues to have that unique looking ring. And it's, you know, I think that they're trying to bring a lot of the characters in there. And Nate Landwehr, he really delivers. On the grand scheme of things, where do you place a Nate Landwehr as far as, you know, if you're at the top of M1 Global, where do you stand on the world level?
You know, I feel like as far as within their organization, he's positioned himself to be towards the top real quick. And I know that they have to like his personality, and his persona gets people paying attention, you know. So, you know, he's certainly the showman. As far as the grand scheme of things, I think if he gets their title and, you know, makes a couple big defenses, then it certainly puts him in the talking, you know, for, you know, even bigger things. But it seems like he's happy where he's at.
Undoubtedly. Now, that being said, talking about titles and championships, this week has been a big one in international amateur mixed martial arts competition, talking about the IMAF World Championships going down there in Bahrain. And, of course, Tim, I don't have to tell you anything about the champions here from the United States. We watched them firsthand. I called the fights alongside Vince at the UMAF Nationals earlier this year. Valor Fights was a big part of that, the sponsor organization. And now we're seeing, you know, after 3 days or 2 days of competition, we're seeing four of the U.S. competitors going on to the semifinals. Quentin Thomas, who looked outstanding at the UMAF Nationals, and he's looking outstanding here as well. Ben Bennett, another huge prospect that's been around for several years in these competitions. Sean Stebbins and David Evans. These guys are all moving on. And, of course, giving shout-outs to Chase Bowell, who had one victory in the opening round. He dropped a tough decision earlier today. Then Darian Weeks, same deal. He had one victory. And then also shout outs to Fatini Kandris and Toma Walton. What is your take about these on these UMAF or I'm sorry, these IMAF World Championships so far?
I've been trying to get up and watch them when I can. It's early, you know, but you know, it's I feel like they've all fought very well. I mean, you're halfway across the world in a crazy environment. And, you know, from what I can gather, they've all really kind of taken this experience and really enjoyed it, you know, because, you know, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, really. I think that, you know, everyone is, like I said, they've all performed great. Real proud of Chase. Goes out there and knocks off a 16 fight vet from England in the first round. And the second round ran into a really highly touted, undefeated guy from, I think it was Kazakhstan. And, you know, there's some killers that come out of there. So goes to the decision and drops that one. But, you know, at that 18 years of age, he is really gotten to experience the whole spectrum in his first year of MMA. So that's really cool. And, you know, there's still four of them left, you know, going. I think at this point we're to the final four in each weight class. So everyone that's left of the four that are left for the States, they are all fighting for medals at this point.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Chandler, were you here for the UMAF Nationals? Were you able to attend any of those?
No, but I kept up with it on Flow. You know, I had David and Billy fighting, and so I kept up with as much as I could. I'm really bummed out that Billy didn't get to go over there and fight. That'd have been pretty cool to try to keep up and stuff. But I've been keeping up with Chase. That kid, he's going to be something special. Got to throw that out there. That kid's really good. And I saw that he won. Was it yesterday? He won yesterday.
Right.
I saw where he lost this morning. I was pretty bummed about that. But you know what? Wins or losses, I think the big thing to take from this is experience. And just savor the moment, you know. You're going over there fighting across, you know, in another country. You get to be a part of, you know, Team USA. Just take it all in. And this is just a great experience for everyone over there.
I'm sure that would have been something that you would have loved to have had the opportunity to do as an amateur.
I would have. You know, I didn't even hear anything. I've barely been out of Virginia, you know. I've been to Tennessee. So it'd been cool to go to another country.
Undoubtedly. Well, we're halfway home. I'm going to have my eyes peeled on all the results. I'm sure you guys will too. One more order of business here in the news. Of course, we've got Strikefest coming up on December 16th, and it's going to be a big pro-am event here in the Tri-Cities at the Appalachian Fairgrounds. And we've got three big professional bouts already signed. Jeremiah Harper, Lone Wolf, taking on Mike Thomas. Dustin Long and Ben Rowland in professional Muay Thai, and then Stephen New taking on Nate Williams, and that's going to be in the lightweight division. Tim, this is shaping up to be very exciting. All three of those are going to be top-notch. I'm going to be excited for them.
Yeah, I think all three of those fights should deliver good action. You know, we're going to close out the year there in Johnson City with that Strikefest event, and looking to have a good time with it. You know, I think that you know, Harper and Thomas is going to be a fight that, you know, probably won't lack in action and or in hype talk leading up to it. Both those guys will be very vocal and will definitely provide fireworks in the cage and before. I think you know, Long and Roland is a rematch from MMA, and now they're doing it in Thai. Really, it's interesting because, you know, one would think in MMA that Long having the experience advantage with so many more fights, being able to have more ways to win on the ground and things like that would potentially not necessarily be the wisest move going into Roland's world of standing and banging hard, you know. So we'll see how that plays out. I think no matter what, we probably won't see a decision on that one. I have a feeling somebody eventually is going to go down. And then the main event, you know, it's going to be a great action fight, too. I think Nathan Williams coming off a win over Cromwell Stewart. He's looking to stay busy and stay active. So he's going to welcome Stephen New back, who's been out for, you know, he's been out for over a year, I believe, now. So we'll be interested to see what improvements he's been made. I know he's been training in that time off, so see what improvements he's made, if there's any cage rust. And both these guys taking this fight at 155, as they're both now normally 145ers, but this will be at 155. So, you know, there's an amateur card starting to take shape. Not a whole lot to announce yet, but as we get closer, I'm sure we'll get into that.
Chandler, what names stand out in this lineup of three fights here for December 16th Strikefest?
Yeah, it ain't even a question. Y'all know who I'm going to talk crap about. Ben Rowland, you know, anytime I get the chance to talk about the big Neanderthal from Kentucky, I take full advantage of it. I think that he has about a good minute of fighting hard. And then he'll gas. I don't know if y'all saw the before pictures of Ben, but the guy used to be fat. And I'll put it to you this way. Are both of y'all over 30?
It's what?
Are both of y'all over 30 years old?
Yeah.
No, well, no, I'm about 24.
I feel you. Okay. Well, yeah. See, you know, after 30, your body quits producing testosterone like that. And there's no reason why a 40-year-old man just picks up lifting weights as a hobby and, you know, his bench press goes up to 450 pounds. So I don't know. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that he's helping himself. But if he is, you know, it'll come back to bottom in the butt. That stuff don't help your lungs. So I see him gassing out and Dustin Long knocking him into next year.
Man, you know, we also know Jeremiah Harper and Mike Thomas pretty well. You've seen them both in action. What's your take on this fight?
You know, I'm glad you asked that because, you know, Jeremiah Harper had his little talk show, and he was talking about my fight with Dustin Dyer, and he was talking about past experiences. He was like, I fought Dustin, and he was like, I think heavyweight Chandler can't handle him. Chandler's probably going to lose, blah, blah, blah. And I proved him wrong. So now it's my time to talk about, about Jeremiah. So, you know, this is a good fight. Jeremiah hasn't fought since what, back in June?
He fought Jay Page last.
Yeah. Is this a MMA or a Muay Thai?
This will be MMA, and one thing that stands out is, you know, Brock Walker is a common opponent there, and that kind of stirred up the smack talk that in the beginning. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that, you know, and I don't think it's been too tough as of yet, right, Tim? I mean it's not gotten nasty, but
it hasn't yet. But I think it will, just because I mean I know Mike wants to hype up a fight, and Harper's not real hard to get riled up in a verbal confrontation or physical confrontation. And so, I think that as we get closer, we probably should keep an eye on that one.
I know that he's going to try to mentally get into Mike's head. That's just how Harper is. He'll go out of his way to say something to really rile this up, and I'm excited just to see how this all plays out.
It wasn't hard to put together, I'll say that. It was pretty, I mean, both guys were bored pretty quick.
All right, and before we close everything out, I wanted to go back, of course, last Saturday night. It was VFW Fight Night number 2 as we closed out the MMA Road Warrior Tour Season 1. 6 events in 7 months. And this one was slated as the grand finale, and it certainly delivered. Guys, what did you think about this event?
Man, it was exciting. You know, it was that venue is really easy to get rocking, if you will. And it was all night long, really, man. We didn't have, I can't recall any fights that really just were snoozers off the top of my head. You know, for the most part, all the fights really delivered.
Yeah, and it's definitely a place where, like, as you mentioned, as soon as those lights, the big lights, when they come on, it feels like a totally different place. Like you're in a different world, and it's just Fight Club USA. And so it was really a lot of high energy, even more so than the first one. Our first bout was great. You know, it was presented by Patton Crosswhite VFW, Muay Thai action in the middleweight division. And we saw the independent out of Mountain City, Austin Kurtz, taking on Brian DuPerry, also an independent out of Mountain City. We see one heck of a scrap there in the first round, and then Brian DuPerry quits on the stool. That gives Austin Kurtz the victory by verbal submission or TKO in between rounds. Tim, what was your take on the fight?
Well, this is a little bit of a grudge match, you know, and it was one that we tried to make for a few months, and we kept losing it, and this time it happened, and you know, it was not the prettiest fight of the night, but these guys certainly came out and slung leather early. Kurtz was, you know, he bull rushed him, and honestly, you know, watching it back on video, it wasn't as one-sided around as I thought it was. I mean, Kurtz won the first round, but like when Perry would throw, I mean, he would put two or three together. If Perry would learn to actually fight using his, I mean, because he's a pretty tall, long guy. He just doesn't fight like it at all. But he has some dimensions to use that could make him, you know, a little bit more formidable. But he actually didn't have as bad of an accounting as I thought he did in the first round after watching it back. But ultimately, I don't know if it was an injury or exhaustion or what have you, but he didn't come out for the second round. And happy to see Austin Kurtz get that win, bouncing back after the loss to Dylan O'Sullivan. So congrats to him. And he's a real good guy, too. So always happy to see those guys do well.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Chandler, did you get a chance to see this fight?
I did. I wasn't able to make it to the fight, but I went back and watched all of them live. And you know, just from my point, I thought that DePerry was he was throwing wild, and I felt like Kurtz was throwing with purpose. So I don't know if he was more well prepared, or if DePerry just got injured in the first and couldn't answer. I couldn't really tell by the video, but you know, that's a tough loss, because no matter what the thing, you know, no matter what the excuse is, everyone's going to look at that and be like, oh, he didn't answer the bell. So I hate that it went down like that. I'd rather have seen him get knocked out or finished or went to decision, something along those lines. But that's a real tough way to take a loss. And I just, I'd like to have seen it end different.
All right. Well, bout number two was presented by Legacy Nightlife, and it was a catch weight at 150 pounds. Junior's Muay Thai action as Zach Hammock out of Shield Systems in Knoxville taking on Logan Hilton out of Team Oxnard in Johnson City. Zach Hammock scores the decision victory in this one, but it was a battle of these two teenagers, Tim.
Yeah, you know, as we said on the preview, we're not accustomed to the teens coming out and putting on boring fights, and this one, you know, held to par. So the first round was Logan Hilton really came out strong and was firing hard and, you know, really just the aggressor. And I gave him that round real close watching it back. But the second round, the tide started to turn a little bit. He got a little bit closer. Looked like Hilton was starting to fade somewhat as Hammock was starting to put his foot on the gas. And so they just kind of like passed each other in the middle. And it was close, man. I had it 2-1 Hammock, but I definitely could have seen it going either way. Regardless, it was a very good showing for both young men and very good experience as they make their way towards, you know, the adult division. They're going to have a leg up on everyone else.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Of course, I was in the corner of Logan Hilton. He's one of our guys. And it was a delight to see that we would be facing a Shield Systems competitor. And we'd seen Zach Hammock in action before. And this was Logan's first kickboxing fight, but he had actually competed in cage grappling events before. So, in other words, you know, submission grappling matches during mixed martial arts shows. And so he had done a number of those. But, you know, again, in retrospect, he's like, man, it was so much different. You know, my arms got so heavy so fast. And really, he threw, you know, three or four rounds worth of strikes in 1 2-minute round in that first, you know. So he really, really spent it. And I think he's going to learn some pacing issues. And on top of that, you know, the nerves hit you like a ton of bricks as well. So he was happy that he was able to compete against a tough opponent from a tough gym and, you know, move on to do big things. So big props to Zach Hammett, man. We're very impressed with him and, you know, and just thankful to have had the fight. Chandler, were you able to watch this matchup?
Yeah, I thought Hammock, I thought he just did enough to win each round, and I think it was a very entertaining fight. And, you know, with that being said, Hilton may not have won, but is at that age, at that level, is there really a loser when you get to experience fights like that? It's great to get fights like that out of the way at such a young age, and I think it just makes you grow as a person. And at that age, that's when you're taking in the most knowledge and you're learning a lot. So, there was no loser in that fight. They're both winners in my eyes, and a great fight. Hammett came away with the victory, but like I said, there's no losers.
All right. Next matchup was brought to you by the Valor Hour, and it was the first round of the Legacy Nightlife Lightweight Muay Thai Championship, 4-man tournament all in one night. And we saw the independent out of Morristown, Chris Bond, taking on Bushido MMA's Rodrigo the Monster Gonzalez. Rodrigo comes out with the decision victory, but again, these guys slung for the fences. Tim.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite fights of the night. It was really good. You know, both guys put it all out there, but Rodrigo is, you know, the MMA fighter, if you will, coming into brawl and known to be a tough guy and really comes, you know, to bang and is tough and has got a good chin. Whereas Bond is, you know, has been around a long time, has trained with a lot of different people, and is kind of trying to settle in as the more, you know, technical type striker. So it was an interesting clash, and the first round was very, very, very close, probably edged out by Rodrigo, I think, by just a hair, in my opinion. Second round was also very close again. Probably could have gone either way. And then the third round, I don't think there was any question, was Chris Bond, and it ended up being a, I think it was a split decision for Rodrigo. Good performance by both guys. It's still in the loss, I would say that was still the best that I've seen Chris Bond look. And Rodrigo moved on to the final, and you know, we'll talk about that here in a bit.
Yeah, Chandler, talk about this matchup.
I think the fight could have went either way. It was super close, and that's what you want in these fights. It was very, very entertaining and exciting, and that's exactly what they brought. And it was a fun fight to watch.
Well, the other half of that big tournament was directly following our next matchup, brought to you by the Tattoo Den. It was, again, the second championship semifinal matchup, advanced Muay Thai in the lightweight division. Joseph Cosby Long, American Killer Bees prospect out of Cleveland, Tennessee, taking on Bullman's kickboxing standout, Steven Tanner, in yet another war, Tim.
Yeah, man, this was another one, and this one got bloody. You know, Joseph Long got cut in what it was probably in the second round, you think, and you know, it was very close, back and forth. Both guys had their moments, and in the end, I think it was the clinch of Joseph Long that kind of just made the slight difference there. But it's a very good showing by Steven Tanner. He looked great, a very tough kid, and will continue to look for big things out of both of these guys. But it's Long who moved on by decision. Well, that was a majority decision, I think.
It was a decision, yeah. It was, I believe, a majority. And, you know, you mentioned it. Once the headgear comes off, those cuts absolutely can happen in professional Muay Thai, and you see it more often than not, actually. Chandler, what was your take on this fight?
You know, I think it started really well with both fighters, and I just feel like toward the second and third round, I feel like Tanner kind of slowed down, and I feel like Joseph stayed constant. He's real persistent, and he's just tough as nails. So I just felt like Tanner just couldn't keep up with Long in the fight. But with that being said, I'm very biased. So that's my dude.
We'll give props to Mark Laws real quick, too, because he got that cut, you know, to where he was cleared to fight that next one. So I know he'll be listening for it. There it is.
Yeah, it was really nice, too. I mean, I was looking at it, and it was all closed up and everything. It looked like he'd been healing a couple of days. It looked really good. And so we saw – we see Joseph Long advance. We see Rodrigo advance. And, again, we're going to get to that final here in just a little bit. But, you know, that being said – you know, you've got Steven Tanner. I would like to see some of these guys mix it up and see them in action against each other. In other words, it would be kind of cool to see Chris Bond and Joseph Long, Chris Bond and Steven Tanner, or Rodrigo and Steven Tanner down the
Absolutely.
Road.
Absolutely.
It opens up a lot of options.
They'd all be action fights. You couldn't lose with any of those.
No, not at all. Next bout was brought to you by the Patton Crosswhite VFW. It was mixed martial arts action. The first MMA action of the evening in the lightweight division. Independent out of Mountain City, Tennessee, Chris Courtner takes on another independent Mountain City competitor, Hunter Lewis, in a grudge match, in a matchup where the O had to go, and it certainly did, Tim.
Yeah, you know, this was another Mountain City grudge match like we had earlier with Kurtz and DuPerry. If you're around on our scene, you know that DuPerry and Lewis are running mates. They're, wherever one goes, you'll find the other. And then Courtner is Kurtz's brother. And so, you know, it was a good night for the brothers. And, you know, early on, it looked like Lewis may get to be, you know, I think Lewis had him mounted at one point, and I thought he may just pound him out there. But, you know, Courtner just kept working and finally got back up, and they swung, and he landed the knockout blow and got him some recognition at the end of the night, too.
Yeah, he got the knockout of the night award. And, you know, you see Chris Courtner smiling after the victory. But man, you see him cheesing after he got that Knockout of the Night award, one of the biggest nights of his career, undoubtedly.
It sounds cliche to say, but like those intangible reasons that we do this shit.
Yeah.
You know? Like that, I don't know that kid will have a better day ever, you know. So it was a good, you know, he'll remember that night for the rest of his life.
That's Chandler, awesome. What do you think about this Knockout?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It was about a minute and 9 seconds into the first round.
Yeah, a lot of action, really short and sweet.
It reminded me of, like, you know, you're watching a movie and this guy steals this guy's wallet, so the guy went and got it back. That's what it kind of reminded me of.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those fights where you would have thought Lewis had Courtner's wallet, and he was getting it back. It wasn't real technical, but swinging for the fences, and he caught him, knocked him out. So I kind of like fights like that. I think they're entertaining.
Undeniably entertaining, you know, and I think people come out, especially because it was so evenly matched. You know what I'm saying? It was a perfect matchup. And so one of those did go. This time it was Chris Courtner's. Next matchup, bout number 7, brought to you by Legacy Nightlife. It was a catchweight matchup at 150 pounds, mixed martial arts action. The independent out of North Carolina, Billy Gray, taking on Team Oxendine standout Dustin Pollard. Dustin Pollard gets the submission and scores the submission of the night award. Tim, what'd you think about this matchup?
Yeah, good performance by Dustin Pollard, coming up a little bit more in weight than what he would generally want to fight at to meet Billy Gray, who was coming down from 55 and was a pretty tall, long, rangy guy. Pollard was able to get the takedown, and, you know, Gray didn't go easy, but, you know, Pollard showed his ground superiority, moves on to 2-0, and another prospect we're really keeping an eye on in Dustin Pollard. Billy Gray was great to work with. You know, he's a guy that we hadn't worked with him before. He found us and, you know, wanted to get a fight on this card. He'd already fought in North Carolina before this. And, man, this is a guy that essentially, from what I can gather, it was an independent, for lack of a better word, but was everywhere he needed to be on time, with no issues. And, you know, props to him for that, honestly. That's, you know, that makes our lives much easier.
Yeah, and a big thanks for him coming out and taking the fight, man. He had a little bit of a travel to get there, but you're exactly right, man. He acted as a consummate professional, and that's always greatly valued. Next match, I'm sorry, Chandler. Chandler, I want to get your take on this fight.
You know, he took him down. He submitted him, and you'll like this pun, Casey. It was short, sweet, and to the joint. Nah, he got him in an arm triangle, but I came up with that by myself, and I had to throw that in there. But he did what he had to. He took him down, short, sweet, and to the point, and he got the job done. Good job, Pollard.
All right, next matchup brought to you by the Tattoo Den. It was featherweight mixed martial arts action as the debut out of Boondocks MMA. Trevor Logan takes on Team Oxendine's Randall Austin. And this one was a battle, you know, in my estimation. Of course, Randall was my guy. In my estimation, Randall was controlling the striking ranges. But ultimately, Logan is able to get it to the ground. He is a pedigreed wrestler, and he gets the win there. You got to give I have to give a shout-out to him. I don't ever like to lose, I'm a man, and so is Randall. And so you take your losses in stride, and you learn from them, and you thank your opponents for coming and bringing a good fight. Tim, what was your take?
This was one of those fights that we just didn't know what we were going to get, because, you know, we've been seeing Randall. He'd really been emerging as a good prospect, still is a great prospect. And, you know, we didn't have anything on Logan, but we did know that he was a wrestler, of course, coming in. And, his striking still pretty raw, but he's really tough, you know, and he withstood that storm. Randall, very sharp and accurate with his strikes in that first round. He went really hard. And in the second round, Logan was able to get that takedown pretty early and maintain great top pressure. And Randall just, I think, had maybe expended a little bit much at that point. So, you know, congrats to Trevor Logan. He came out and made a statement, you know, in his debut, and he's going to be one to watch.
Undoubtedly. Chandler, your take on the fight?
You know, I think Logan, I think he saw where he was having success at. and that was on top. I think it was toward the end of the first. It was kind of back and forth, you know. Randall was landing some punches. Logan would grab him. He took him down. He saw that he was having success there. And in the second period, no doubt, that's where he wanted to go back to. He finished him. Pretty good fight, you know, all around. I'm a huge fan of Randall, so I hated to see that. But good job to Logan. And I can't wait to see what the future holds for both fighters. I mean, they're still young prospects.
Yeah, and you know, man, I don't like to lose, but when it's meant to happen, I mean, I'm you know, wise enough to see the writing on the wall, and you know, that's how you grow and you advance. And I know, again, that's cliche, but it really is true to form, man. There are a lot of fighters that never fight tough, and they get a lot of numbers behind them, and then they kind of get shut down, and a lot of times they can't come back from it by that point. So I'm glad for Randall to get a good look at a tough opponent, and you know, take that loss early and move on. And speaking of moving on, let's move on to bout number 9, actually number 8. It was presented by the Valor Hour. Heavyweight action, mixed martial arts action, in a weight class 265 pounds. And we saw the Shield System standout Eli Gawthorpe taking on Bushido MMA's Dale Dodds. Lots of horsepower in this one, Tim.
Yeah, man, this was a battle, and the crowd was the most hype of all the fights that night. Maybe, I don't know, main event, they were pretty hyped too, but man, the Dodds had a large and rowdy crowd contingency rooting him on there in his debut, and he's a monster of a guy. I mean, just a hoss. And, you know, Gawthorpe obviously was giving up some size visually there, but had, you know, just superior skill and technique coming from Shield Systems. And, you know, I think early on he kind of established the fact that he wasn't going to just be manhandled, if you will, and showed good striking, and he actually got the takedown. It was Dodds that got the takedown in the first, but you know, Eli was the one that ended the round going for an armbar and coming real close to it. And then the second round, he got a takedown, took down Dodds and pounded him out, and moves to 2-0. He's a transplant. I think he's from out west, maybe Idaho or something like that. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see what he does moving forward. He'd be an ideal cruiserweight, I think, at 225. And Dodds is somebody, you know, I hope we see back again. You know, he's certainly got a lot of potential, great size, and, you know, just needs to, you know, continue training and honing his skill.
This is something we're going to be talking about, you know, in a couple of fights here. But Eli Gawthorpe and Lance Abbott, you know, that could be very interesting. You know, you mentioned the cruiserweight division. You know, Lance Abbott holds a cruiserweight title, so that could be something to look at down the road. Chandler, what did you think about this?
Casey, you took the words right out of my mouth. Wow, I was sitting here thinking when, you know, you was talking about the cruiserweight division, I'm thinking, man, you know, but before I go on that, let me just, you know, when Gawthorpe was fighting Dodds, to me, it just looked like Gawthorpe was the more experienced fighter. He looked like the overall more technical fighter. I think that's what helped him pick up the win. Dale Dodds, you know, he's a big old guy, but I just felt like he didn't have the experience that Gawthorpe did. But back on the Lance thing, that sounds like a good fight. You know, Gawthorpe, that's a big kid. You know, so that is something I think that would be exciting to see.
Yeah.
You know, even at a future bar battles, or even, you know, if Valor, you know, transitions to the cruiserweight division, I think that'd be a really, really good fight to see, honestly.
Yeah, undoubtedly. All right, moving on to bout number 9, presented by Patton Crosswhite VFW, and it was the finals of the Legacy Nightlife Amateur Muay Thai Lightweight Championship. And, of course, we saw the winner of the first round in Rodrigo Gonzalez taking on the other winner of the first round in Joseph Cosby Long. Yet another war, Tim.
Yeah, man. Both these guys had 3-round wars, you know, to get into that final. And I mentioned that before they went back out there. You know, at least both guys had tough fights. No one had a walkthrough in their first one, so they were, you know, equally tired. But, you know, Long looked to have maybe taken more damage in his fight, if you will. And, you know, this was a slugfest, man. It was back and forth. I think both guys thought they had an argument to win. I think ultimately that Long still probably landed more and better shots and deserved to win. He just showed that fatigue so badly, if you will, that it appeared that he was really struggling, you know. But, you know, it was a great showing by both guys. And, you know, we didn't see the clinch so much in that second fight from Long as we did in the first. I think that being one of the separating factors from him and some of these guys. So congrats to him. And, man, I think he's like 6-1 or something now in kickboxing, and just has only been on the scene for like a year, or maybe a little bit more. And one of those bright prospects, you know, from American Killer Bees. And also it's good to see Rodrigo back. He'd been out for a while, mainly does MMA, and had a great showing in this tournament. So always an exciting fighter. I'm a fan of his as well. And excited to see him back in action.
Chandler, you've worked a lot with Joseph Long, you know, and Tim mentioned that, you know, he didn't utilize that clinch work nearly as much in that second round. It does take a lot out of the gas tank to clinch up and wrestle around like that. Do you think that the workload from that first fight factored into his decision to fight this way?
You know, just from my experience of sparring with Joseph, I don't feel like when he clinches up, that's where he's the most dangerous. That funny story, we didn't tell Tim because we knew that Tim would be furious if he heard about it. But when I went down there, actually, this last time before my fight, I walked in the gym. I just got there from a four-hour drive, and Joseph said, put your shin guards and your gloves on. We'll do some light sparring. Well, for anyone who knows Joseph, he only knows one speed. So we're sitting there, and we're going to a lot. And even though he was going light and it was kind of slow, he landed every single shot he threw at me, threw an inside kick, busted my leg up before the Dyer fight the week before. Yeah, we didn't tell Tim, though, because I knew he'd have a stroke.
What, me?
Yeah, he had had a stroke. So we kind of milked it. I was already on weight, so I kind of just done what I could. I stood every day, and it ended up being okay. But the kid is just a freak. About a year ago, we sparred, and, you know, I was bigger than him, so I was kind of bullying him. But now, you know, I can't go out there and bully him. He's a tough kid. He's been training with Sid and David and all those guys. And once again, when you hear me talk about Joseph, you realize I'm very biased. That's my teammate. So, so of course, but Rodrigo did a good job, and I was glad to see Joseph come away with the win.
Well, again, Joseph Long, he walks away with that strap, but, you know, really four stars were born because they really delighted the fans, and those advanced Muay Thai rules are awesome. No headgear, and so you get to see these guys tee off. Moving on, the co-main event, bout number 10, presented by the Tattoo Den, and it was for the Legacy Not Life Middleweight Championship as a local legend and Temple boxing prospect Chris Buttrey took on the No Mercy MMA and Goon Squad standout in Bailey Cooper. This was a rematch, and this was an absolute battle. And it goes all the way to the third round. Bailey Cooper gets the victory by RNC yet again, and he becomes the champion. Tim, talk about it.
Man, it was another great fight. It was a war. And, you know, a lot of people thought that Chris Buttrey having the full training camp would make the difference in him being able to go out there and get the job done this time. He did come in looking in a lot better shape and condition, but ultimately it kind of blew his load and going real hard in a good second round for him, but couldn't get the finish and was just dead to rights coming into the third again. And Bailey puts him away again with a rear naked choke. And, you know, tell Buttrey here, you know, keep your head up. You're still, you know, a very good prospect. And you've ran into another good prospect two times. And so certainly taking nothing away from Buttrey. But Bailey Cooper is, you know, his star just continues to get brighter and brighter. You know, people pick against him, and it gives him that incentive, you know, to prove him wrong. And so we'll see if that trend keeps up or if people jump on that bandwagon.
Chandler, your thoughts on this fight?
You know, it's like I told y'all earlier, I thought it was a fluke first time
first time they fought, I thought it was a fluke. I thought it was even funnier when he called out Billy Combs, who's like 2-32. And it blew my mind that he would do that after he had a big win. So I had lost respect for him. But then, you know, you have a full training camp, and then you come back, you fight him again, and you win again. You know, first time, you know, beat me once, shame on you. Beat me twice, shame on me. You know, he beat him twice. That's why we have rematches and rubber matches, is to prove, you know, the first time you beat him wasn't a fluke. And I was glad to see it happen. But, you know, I was rooting for Chris, but ultimately turned into a Cooper fan. I mean, I love when people prove me wrong. That's the thing is, you know, a lot of people, they hear us pick on these picks and stuff, and they're like, oh, my God, they picked against us. Don't get mad. Just go prove us wrong. Like, don't get butt hurt. Go out there and do your job. And that's what he did. And, you know, I'm a fan now.
Tim, you know, moving in, you know, like, who do you really put with Bailey Cooper? You know, he's 3-0 right now. Middleweight division is very thin. It's hard to find tough competitors. Now, we saw a couple there at Valor Fights 46 there in Nashville, you know, and that could be, you know, those are some potentials there. Anybody, though, that stands out in particular that you'd like to see Bailey against soon?
You know, I think a good test would be Aaron Terrell, potentially, from Nashville, or maybe even Caleb Langford.
Yeah, I'd like to see him and Langford. That'd be a good fight. Jared Short,
could potentially edge Jared Short as well. If Short can make a pro.
Yeah.
Y'all think Jason Chavez? I mean,
Jason Chavez would be another great test. One. Maybe potentially a little too much grappling this early.
Or yeah. Who's that other kid from Kentucky that fought Langford at Electric Cowboy?
That's Short.
I think Short's turning pro, right?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, Donald Nease messaged me the other day saying that he wanted somebody's title. Oh shit, who was it? It wasn't Hall he was calling out. It was I have to go back and find the message, but it was somebody.
He doesn't want any Cooper. Part of Hall.
I will beat him to death. Well, let's move on, man. It was a huge main event, man, and of course, we hyped it like crazy, and it certainly delivered. Presented by Legacy Nightlife, it was for the Legacy Nightlife Heavyweight Championship, as we saw Lance Abbott out of Temple Underground Boxing taking on former teammate, the infidel Chris Cash out of Bushido MMA. And really, it went as expected. We expected Chris Cash to close the distance. He did that. We expected him to hit the takedown. He did that as well. And the question was, would Lance Abbott be able to get it back to the feet? He was able to do it. He scores the knockout, and he becomes the heavyweight champ. Tim, talk about it. Give him your comments.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was, the question was, could Cash use his wrestling to, you know, control the fight, essentially, and or would Abbott be able to knock him out? And, you know, early on, Cash was able to finally get the takedown, but wasn't able to hold that top position, as we saw Owenby struggle with last time. And like we've said over and over up till now, that's been kind of a game plan that's worked, but it's not working any longer. And so people are going to have to reevaluate the way they fight Lance Abbott. They get up, and at that point, something kind of clicked in Cash, and you could see that he was just deciding that he was just going to bite down on his mouth guard and trade. And I was like, oh, this could get interesting now. And you know what? Like, he was landing good shots as well. And it wasn't like it was a one hitter quitter, but he ate about three real hard ones before that, that would have put most men down, that just kind of stunned him and staggered him and didn't go down. So Lance had kind of set the table with about three real hard shots before he finally put him away, and Cash withstood those. And, you know, hopefully we see him back in action soon. It looked like he might've had a leg injury afterward, but, you know, Lance Abbott, the 2.0 is kind of the man around here lately. It's interesting to see that, you know, arguably your best two, I don't want to just say best right off without thinking this through, but like that 205 to 225 range, your kind of top dogs right now are in that Cock County, Hamblin County area down there with Hall and Lance.
Yeah. And I'll say this, that, you know, that was the kind of action that makes people enjoy watching heavyweights. You know, sometimes those guys lay on each other, not these two. They really came to fight. Chandler, what was your take on the fight?
Well, whenever Lance gives those shout outs, make sure he gives it to Ben Rowan for all that cage control work he done to help his best friend's opponent. That was awesome. But no, you know, last week I said that size didn't matter. Apparently it does. When you eat 15,000 grams of protein for every meal and you lift five times a day, you hit even harder. So with that being said, yeah, I mean, it was a good fight. He pressured him against the cage, and then it kind of looked like Chris went for like a lat drop slash like Olympic-style suplex like deal. But then, you know, he got right back up. And I'll tell you, it wears you out as a wrestler when you take someone down. People think that you get tired on bottom. It takes a lot more strength when you're holding someone down. Like when you're holding someone down and you physically have to like fight to keep them down, that'll wear the offensive wrestler out just as much.
I think that when you're on your back, and they're like, you're in, say, under a crossbody, you're on your back and they're mashing into your guts, that takes a lot more out of the guy on bottom. But if you're kind of in a base, like in a turtle position, and you're all you're doing is just kind of stepping up and sliding up the cage, I mean, you're the guy that's trying to hold you down, he's expending so much more energy.
Oh, yeah. It's like a constant flex. You know, you're traditional wrestling. You know how you start on the back and you kind of have like a tight waist and you got like an arm, like you got one arm. When you got it like that, they're constantly trying to stand, and you're just flexing, trying to keep them down. You know, that guy literally is just standing up. He's just trying to slowly work his way up. That top guy's holding him down, flexing all the muscles. Yeah, it takes a lot out of you. That's what I learned over my years of wrestling is if you're straining on top and the guy's just working his way up, if your takedowns are great, let him up. Take him down again, because that's where you're going to wear him out at. I think if I was Chris Cash, I'd have let him up, I'd have closed the distance and took him down again, tried to wear him out. But, you know, Chris was confident in his hands. I think if either one of them would have landed a real big shot, it could have ended with either one of them, because Chris is a big guy, about 260. And, you know, no matter who you are, when you're 260 pounds and you're throwing punches behind, or throwing weight behind the punches, you can go to sleep. So I think it could have went either way. I think Lance just landed right on the button and Chris went to sleep.
Well, again, Lance Abbott walks away with the Legacy Nightlife heavyweight title. That closes out VFW Fight Night number 2 and, of course, the 2017 MMA Road Warrior Tour. Tim, real quick, out of the whole tour, you know, that was 6 events in 7 months. Talk about the names that stand out the most to you out of all 6 of those events moving forward. Who's the star power from this 6 events?
I've got to say, you know, Bailey Cooper and Lance Abbott are the two that – you know, obviously they were the last two guys that competed as well. But, you know, over the course of the series, those are the two that kind of like emerged or reemerged, if you will, in the case of Lance, as guys to really keep an eye on. I think those guys, I think Randall Austin, you know, those are Dustin Pollard as well. You know, those are kind of guys that really kind of emerged out of this thing as you know, guys to start watching for as they start to make their move. And, you know, Whitney Piles, that's another one. Christina Ricker, you know, Fatini Candris.
Martinez.
Angelica Martinez, that's another one. So, this, you know, several have really kind of taken advantage of these opportunities and ran with them. And, it's been fun.
Yeah, I really, the WMMA portion where we had, you know, two main events I guess two co-main events that was WMMA action, you know, in this whole series. I think they stood out. You got to remember Julia Moore, Shamir, who is getting ready to make her pro debut, I guess, January 6th, right? Most likely.
Yeah,
and so she stands out. Fatini, who's over at the IMAF Worlds right now, you know, she went on to do that. So, you know, a lot of these women that went on to do big things. Now, two that really stood out, I think Whitney Piles is getting ready to have her pro debut with CFFC, but I would have loved to seen her versus Angelica Martinez, because those two kind of, you know, they stood out. Angelica, of course, ended up taking the title, the Rumble on the River title. So that being said, we bid a fond adieu and farewell to the 2017 MMA Road Warrior Tour. And that does it for the news, which means it's time for this week's Valor Hour Q&A segment. And we have a great list of questions for our listeners this week. So without further ado, Tim, let's get down to brass tacks.
Let's do it.
All right. Question number one, is there a fighter you get more excited to watch than Sid Wheeler?
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, Sid's certainly one that's always highly anticipated. You know, when you know you've got Sid on a card, you know that you're going to get an exciting fight. So it's hard to say that there's one that's more, you know, although lately some guys like JSP and, you know, some fighters like that are really exciting to see in there. And, you know, they're all good kind of style. And, you know, so there's certainly several. But, yeah, I wouldn't say there's any that more so than Sid right now.
All right. Well, question number two, when will we see more news for Strikefest number two? Of course, we've released three big fights already, but there is more on the horizon, I'm sure.
Yeah, we should be, you know, we've kind of already started talking about it. You know, January the 6th will be the Knoxville Coliseum event, and that'll be our kickoff to 2018. We expect that to be a really big show, and you can expect some, you know, really, really good pro fights on there and amateur fights as well. But we should start releasing those fights, man. I'd like to start releasing them next week sometime.
All right. Very cool. A question number three, do you think you'll be working with Bellator again in the year 2018?
Yeah, we hope so. You know, I don't have any reason to think that we won't be. And I think that if they continue their partnership with Monster and NASCAR, then, you know, there's a real good shot that you'll see us working together. And, you know, I think any time that they kind of swing out this way, you know, there's a, you know, a good possibility you'll see, you know, us, you know, facilitating what we can.
All right. Well, who do you have in their heavyweight Grand Prix coming up?
Oh, gosh, man, that's a tough one. Let's just go with the unlikely and say that Fedor like hits a gear and starts winning some fights. That's crazy, I know, but I'll just say that.
I want Fedor to win too, man. I mean, he's my favorite fighter of all time, but you know, he's definitely the underdog now. Yeah. You know, 10 years ago, who would have believed that we would say he's the underdog?
Yeah,
but he is. Next question. Are you watching the UFC cards this week in Australia and next weekend in China? If you could promote any event in any country, which country would you choose?
Yeah, I'm sure I will be. This should be a couple relaxing weekends at home with the family. I'm sure we'll be tuning into some fights in and out of naps. You know, as far as in another country, man, I would say I would probably play it safe and do something in like Mexico. I think that would be cool. Or maybe surely I can come up with a better answer than that.
Would you go to Canada or Mexico? Would you go north or go south?
I probably would go south. I think I'd probably go south to Mexico, honestly. Although like the cooler answer would be somewhere over like in the Mediterranean or something, I guess.
Yeah. And then there's always Puerto Rico.
Oh, I know. All right.
Or is I know they, of course, they had a rough go of it, but man, for a while there, Puerto Rican mixed martial arts was really, starting to kind of pick up. There was a push there. So, final question, with the rumored return of the Contender Series in 2018, which fighters from your area would you like to see on that show?
Oh, wow. You know, I think we kind of just mentioned them. You know, I think Sid Wheeler, Jonathan Pierce, Nick Gertz. I think those are some names right off the top of my head I think would be great. You know, Lindsey Jones, Luis Pena, I could keep on, I'm sure. You know, we saw CJ Hamilton on there last year. And, you know, I think there's just so many that could really shine if given that opportunity.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Well, that does it. Some great questions from our listeners, but the train keeps rolling down the track. Be sure to send in your questions each week, and Valor Fights President Tim Lloyd will address them right here. Now, without further ado, let's get right into this week's lineup of guests. We are joined by Bailey Cooper, the new Legacy Nightlife middleweight champion. We saw him in action last Saturday night in the co-main event of VFW Fight Night number 2 as he defeated Chris Buttrey in an epic battle. Bailey, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, no problem.
Excited to have you back, man. I think this is your second time on the show. Just get everybody up to speed. You know, we're coming off of your first amateur title win just a few days back in Bristol at the VFW event there by Legacy Nightlife. You know, talk a little bit about the fight. You took on Chris Buttrey in a rematch that a lot of people were excited for. And, you know, the panel picked against you last week. And, you know, just talk a little bit about the fight. It was another good one. You know, the first one was great. This one was arguably better.
Oh yeah, you know, me and my coach, we had a game plan, and we planned on sticking to it until when we came out there, Chris Buttrey came out a little harder than we expected. We expected, you know, him to kind of hang back and conserve his energy, but we had a backup plan, and when we came out there and he came as pretty hard towards me in the first and second round, I was just kind of hanging back, letting him do his thing, and letting him kind of gas himself out because I knew in the third I'd be able to overtake him. And, yeah, the everybody voted against me last week, and that just kind of fueled the fire, and it gave me more of a drive to want to win. But, I mean, Chris Buttrey, always a good fight, an awesome fighter. You know, we worked on our stand-up forever to get prepared for him. And the stand-up part I still wasn't as happy about. But when we go to the ground, I know how to execute him and, you know, how to overtake him from the previous fight.
Well, it was very similar to the first fight with the third round submission, the same maneuver. You know, what did you kind of take out of this one? You know, to what's some things that you need to work on coming out of this one?
Coming out of this one, I definitely know I need to, you know, use my kicks, my range a lot more because, you know, I love going to the ground. So I kind of want to, you know, I want to work on my stand up. That way I have more arsenals, you know, more tools under my belt. That way, you know, if I do get a ground guy that's better than me, I can work my stand up and, you know, just more of my Muay Thai fighting and, you know, kickboxing is what I need to work on the most.
Well, Bailey, we are joined by Chandler Cole, who just by chance was on the panel last week. Chandler, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, did you indeed pick against Bailey Cooper in this last one?
I absolutely did. I was going to talk about that, actually. You know, like I said last week, I was like, you know, I think it was a fluke the first time he beat Chris. I said I wasn't a fan of Cooper. I said that I thought that Chris is going to come out now that he has a fighting camp. I thought he was going to beat him. Well, and once again, it didn't happen. You know, you beat a guy the first time on a couple hours, you know, notice, you can say, you know, you can say it was a fluke. You know, Chris had a full camp this time and Cooper beat him. So, you know, last week I wasn't a fan. This week I'm kind of a fan. Can't really, you know, can't really.
I appreciate it.
You can't beat, I mean, the only thing that I would hope is we wouldn't call out any more Billy Combs. You're the champ now. So
there's a long story behind that.
I want to hear it because
I'll tell it to you. See, my very first when we first got the fight lined up for my debut, it was supposed to be against Billy Combs. Well, his he was suspended from the last, you know, apparently he got knocked out or something, and he was suspended. And he texted me and said, "You really dodged a bullet this time." And I was like, "Okay." And then so after I fought Chris Buttrey, he was standing beside the cage, and I was like, "Okay, well, I'm going to call you out since you tried to call me out, and we'll try to make it happen," which Billy Combs didn't make it happen. So,
yeah, ironically, I think that the suspension was – no, I guess it was from Pog. I was going to say it might have been from Chris Buttrey when they had their fight, man, because that would have been a common opponent. Now, let me ask you this, man. You know, this was As far as you're one of the breakout stars of the MMA Road Warrior Tour, you know, it was 6 events long, and out of those 6, you competed in 3 of them, and you rose from obscurity where you hadn't had an MMA fight at all to become the champion. Talk about that journey. Talk about that, you know, it's about 3 to 4 months period there of this MMA Road Warrior Tour, and of course it spanned from you fighting there at the Cowboy in Johnson City to Little River right near Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, and then all the way back to last Saturday night at VFW 2. Talk about that entire journey.
Yeah, well, you know, I came into my gym, No Mercy, like 2 months or a month. I think it was a month before the Electric Cowboy. I started at that gym a month. Before that, I was, you know, working a little bit in kickboxing and stuff. And when I started at the gym, my buddy Nick Campbell, he was like, dude, you need to come to this gym. It's a really good gym. You know, we got a fight coming up. Maybe we can get you on the card. I was like, oh, heck yeah, dude. I was like, I'll definitely come. And I came the first day, and I was like, I love it. So I just kept working, and I did not know what to expect debut. You know, I was hoping I was going to have another debut guy or something. I ended up fighting Chris Buttry. And once I fought Chris Buttry, I was like, he's one of the better guys in this division. I was like, if I can hang with him, I can hang with the best. And I'm glad I got to fight him first, because it kind of put that level in my head. And when I fought Austin Cox, you know, I'd already seen Chris Buttry, and I was like, you know, I ended him in the first round submission. So what Chris Buttry really set it off, you know, he put me on that level, and I knew what I had to do to beat Chris Buttry. So I expected that level from everybody.
Well, as I mentioned, that is the end of season 1 of the MMA Road Warrior Tour. Now, that being said, there are a number of events coming up here, you know, very, very soon. Of course, we're going to talk about Strike Fest, which goes down December 16th, and then Valor Fights back in action on January 6th there in Knoxville, and then the list goes on and on. So, Tim, I'm going to kind of refer to Tim here. Are there any spots where you've got a look maybe at Bailey coming into, you know, the late part of this year or 2018?
You know, I got to say, I'm certainly a Bailey Cooper fan. You know, I think that, you know, he's got a lot of potential, and really think it's, you know, it's time to step him up to the bigger shows. You know, I think competing in the big cage, you know, the big cage for the Valor events will actually play to his advantage with his, once he begins to learn how to use that length and reach. Yeah, you know, I'm excited about the future. I'd love to see something in January or so at the Coliseum and really kind of let you see, you know, that next level of event we can do.
All right. Well, real quick, Bailey, go ahead and give your shout outs, man. Again, you are the Legacy Nightlife middleweight champion. And I know you've got a lot of thanks to give. And then also we need your social media plugs everywhere we can follow you and keep an eye on what's up next for Bailey Cooper, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth.
I just want to shout out my coach and my whole team at No Mercy MMA. I wouldn't be where I am today without them. My whole family for putting up with this crazy fight life, you know, coming to all my fights and everything. And my Instagram is X-Man MMA, and my Facebook is Bailey Cooper.
All right. He is the new Legacy Nightlife middleweight champion. And you got to keep your eyes open as he comes to a mixed martial arts event close to you. Bailey, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and good luck in the future.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
We are joined by Lance Abbott, the current Bar Battles Cruiserweight Champion and the new Legacy Nightlife Heavyweight Champ. He picked up that title last Saturday night at VFW Fight Night 2 with a victory over the very, very tough Chris Cash. Lance, thank you for joining us tonight.
I appreciate you guys.
I want to say congratulations, man. I don't think I got to see you right after the event. I had to rush out of there. I had a sick one at home, but congratulations on a very impressive win. you know, an amateur knockout of the year nominee, I would have to imagine. You know, talk a little bit about the fight, the way it went. You know, did it go like you kind of imagined, or you know, did you expect to knock him out in the first round? Did you think it may go a bit longer? Just talk a little bit about it.
Oh well, yeah, I figured it was going to go the way I imagined. I knew Chris. I knew exactly what he was going to do. I knew he was going to try to bum rush me, get me up against the cage, and then go for the takedown. And then I knew he would probably get it at least once, and he did. And then he realized he couldn't keep me down. Like, he'd done his best to try to keep me down, so I just worked my way up against the cage and then stood back up. And I was right when I was starting to try to turn him and everything, he started pushing me. And then next thing I know, we just started brawling. But yeah, I figured, you know, it wasn't going to last long. But I figured he'd gas out on me and everything, and I figured I'd just pick him off.
Let me ask you this. Firstly, you're right. Chris Cash, he came out with that game plan. He got on top, and there was a point, you know, where you're climbing up. He's on your back, and you're literally kind of on your knees stepping up, and he's still hanging off of you. One, how hard was it to lift him off of you like that? And two, you did catch a few shots here and there, as well as delivering some. How hard did Chris Cash hit?
He hit pretty hard. I mean, I felt it, but not enough to really daze me or anything.
And so you did, you know, as far as, you know, is the pressure on top when he was actually on top of you, how hard was it to come out from under there?
Really hard. Like when I was lifting up on me, it felt like he was lightweight. It felt like he didn't have much weight on me, but I knew he was putting everything he had on top of me. But it didn't feel like he was much when I was just picking him up.
This gotcha. Is two pretty highly pedigreed wrestlers in a row that you've knocked off. You know, and like I said, when we've talked about your fights in the past, the book on you's been that, you know, you take him down, you can kind of grind on him and, you know, get a decision on him if you don't like the stand-up. In the past two fights, you showed that is not necessarily the case anymore. You know, the guys, they're getting the early takedown, but they cannot control you. They can't maintain position for any extended amount of time. You know, what do you attribute that to? Is it the move up in weight? Is it because you're not draining yourself as a heavyweight, or is it a different conditioning regimen? Or, you know, what is the main component in this new improved Lance Abbott we've seen the last two fights?
I mean, it's mainly all the above, what you just said. Plus, with the what I've been doing is I've been working with my strength training and my cardio conditioning, so I'm combining those together. And, like, my opinion, if you have most people, if you have strength, you don't have the conditioning. And then the people who have the conditioning don't have the strength. But if you have both, you're a very dangerous person, in my opinion. But that's what I've been working on. I've been working on strength and conditioning. So I've been working where I can just keep – I got my strength, but I got the conditioning to just keep on going. I can outlast the person mostly. And then with the – I've been working on jiu-jitsu. I've been going to Greenville, BJJ in Greenville. And plus, I got John Hall helping me. He's tremendous help with the cage control and takedown defense and everything. So I got to give a shout-out to both them guys.
Well, inside the cage, after your victory, you said that you were dedicating this fight to the Valor Hour. And, of course, the reason is that last week's panel all picked against you unanimously. And included in that group is Chandler Cole. And we have Chandler Cole with us tonight. Chandler, any words for Lance Abbott? You're eating crow for the second time tonight, by the way.
Yes, yes. You know, he actually answered one of my questions I was going to ask. I was going to say, you know, a lot of people remember Lance when he was fighting 185. And even then, he was hitting hard. And then one of my comments last week was, you know, that's a lot of muscle he's packed on, and all that muscle don't mean shit. Well, clearly it does, because he knocked Chris into another world. And, you know, one of my questions was going to be, how do you work on your cardio while you're packing on so much muscle? Well, clearly he's doing he answered that for us a second ago. But, you know, you've knocked off Jordan Owenby, who was undefeated. You crushed that undefeated streak with him. You just beat Chris Cash, undefeated. two, I mean, well-known amateur prospects. What's next for Lance Abbott?
Well, me and John Hall, we've been talking. Me and him's going to take time off together, train, and then me and him's planning on coming back. I'll probably fight another amateur and then go pro, but he's planning on going on pro, so I'm going to go right. Me and him's going to probably go pro together.
Well, let me ask you this, and Tim and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, just kind of expand a little more on what Chandler was saying. Firstly, you know, you say you're going to have one more amateur fight. You've got two belts right now. You've got a cruiserweight belt and a heavyweight belt. And there is a potential that the Valor Fights heavyweight belt may be vacant before too long. Talking about Billy Swanson moving on into the pro ranks. Is that something that you might have your eye on, looking for that Valor Fights belt? Because that's a big one, man, especially before you head into to the pro ranks. Secondly, the former, you know, the champion that is getting ready to step down to turn pro, Billy Swanson. Now, you mentioned, Chandler said, mentioned that you have knocked off two pedigreed wrestlers. Billy Swanson is the cream of the crop. They don't get any more pedigreed and top tier as far as, you know, wrestling mixed martial arts fighters. How do you think you would fare against Billy Swanson?
I really don't know much about Billy. All I've seen is a few of his. I just probably seen one of his fights, and that's about it. But probably, I mean, that would be a really good matchup. I mean, from what I've seen him on, his thing's more of the wrestler, and I'm more of the stand-up guy. But like I said, where I've been working my jiu-jitsu, I'm willing to take it to the ground with anybody right now. So.
Tim, what's your take on that? And what's your take on a potentially, you know, Valor Fights gold in the horizon somewhere for him? And what's your take on the Billy Swanson fight
later on? I think that, you know, first off, Billy is pretty adamant that he'll be going pro next. So I don't think that we'll be seeing that matchup as amateurs. However, you know, down the road as pros, I think it's something that certainly would make a lot of sense. As far as currently, I think that Lance has more than earned his shot at it. You know, Billy will be vacating. That title will be going up for grabs. So I think Lance has more than earned a shot on a big event, going for that strap, you know, in the big cage there, you know, without a doubt. So, you know, that or, you know, I was going to bring up the fact that with cruiserweight being a thing now, and Lance holds a title at cruiserweight as well. What did you come in this last fight at, Lance? How heavy were you? And do you feel that making the small cut to 225 could be more beneficial?
I mean, when I fought Chris Cash, I weighed in 231 at the weigh-ins, but when I fought him the day of, I was 227 stepping in the cage to fight him. So, I mean,
you're already there.
Yeah, I'm there. That's my walk around weight.
Anyway. I feel like that cruiserweight division could be really perfect for you. Just in the realm of not having to eventually give up some disadvantages in height and reach to some potentially real big guys, but you know, at 225, not having to deplete your body, keeping your strength, and having that power there, I would have to imagine would be a good move. But again, you know what you feel good at.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be perfect for me. I mean, I feel great when I walk around at 225. So, and plus I know my body more. It's like I can push my body to the limit at that weight. When I'm in, like, when I went to 185, it's like I could only do so much.
Well, Lance, you know the routine here. It is time to give your shout outs where they are due. Also, social media plugs, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all the places that we can find and follow Lance Abbott.
I'd like to give a shout out to Coach G. Couldn't do none of this without him. I'd give a shout out to John Hall and his boys down there for taking me in and helping me. I'd like to give a shout out to Alonzo Butler for taking me in down there to his gym, helping me out. My beautiful fiance, Jill, for always having my back, pushing me to keep going when I'm still going. And you can find me at MMA Abbott on Facebook, and then Team Abbott MMA on Facebook also, and then on Instagram also.
All right. Lance Abbott is the Bar Battles Cruiserweight Champion and the Legacy Nightlight Heavyweight Champion. And he heads forward into a big career moving into 2018. You guys got to keep your eyes on this prospect. Lance, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, guys.
That closes out a great lineup of interviews, as well as another episode of the Valor Hour. Remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, and please share this broadcast. We return right here next week with a complete recap of the biggest combat sports news from across the globe. For myself, Casey Oxendine, Valor Fights President Tim Loy, and our special guest host, Chandler Cole, this has been the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at ValorFights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.